The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. We have two meetings to look forward to in Ireland this Sunday, one at Goran Park and one at Sligo, both on the flat. And joining me on the line to look ahead to the action is, of course, William Hill's Irish Racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, mate. Very well.
Good man. We're going to focus primarily on the card. We're going to focus entirely on the card at Goran Park. I don't know why I said primarily. So we're going to get Andy's thoughts there. But before we do that, Andy, let's just have a little bit of a chat before we get there, because the 2000 Guineas obviously took place on Saturday, and Australia ran a fairly good race in third there. And obviously, the aim will be with the Derby with him. Do you think he'll make up into a nice Derby horse?
Seems to be the thinking, doesn't it? Yeah. I mean, going into the Guineas, he was very much expected to go well, but it wouldn't be the end of the world if he didn't win, and that's pretty much how it panned out. He was well supported on the day, so I was expecting a good run, and you know, he lived up to expectations. Obviously, when you get a horse that's bred by him, like him, you know, by Galileo, out of a strong staying family on the dam side, then it all goes well for perhaps, you know, for mile and a quarter, mile and a half races further on in the season. In keeping with how Aidan O'Brien has been running most of his three olds this season, he'd probably be all the better for the run. And while, you know, the Guineas is a major race, obviously to be you know, winning first time out, Aidan probably would be thinking, well, you know, he'd be satisfied with that, and that certainly wouldn't be the end of the world. And he's a worthy Derby favourite. You know, the Guineas form's always pretty good, and there's no reason to suggest that this year's Guineas was anything other than a very good race.
Yeah, you were happy with the result, because obviously with them splitting into two and a 40-1 winner, people might question the form a little bit. You don't think it's that way?
Not really, no, because the first and second were involved in that race that which I've got as the fastest speed figure so far this season, which is the Greenham. I mean, obviously Kingman won it, and many were expecting to, you know, take the Guineas and certainly uphold the form in Night of Thunder. But it's a different day. You know, horses come on and go backwards at different stages, don't they? And some horses are better for the run. Some horses are peaking first time out. It's a different track, different ground. For instance, you know, Kingman was obviously running on a faster surface than he was at Newbury, and the ground was a little bit on the easy side, and it suited Night of Thunder, you know. So it wasn't a great, even though it was a 40-1 shot, the winner, it was actually second top on my figures. You know, that Kingman was top and Night of Thunder was second in because of that full length of feet. So, you know, if you just played the form out of that race, you might have ended up with a winner.
Yeah. Yeah. We've also got the 1,000 Guineas today as well, Andy, before we move on to the stuff in Ireland, and a few Irish contenders in there. Do you think any of them can trouble the English runners here?
Well, the most interesting runner, of course, is Aidan O'Brien's horse down the bottom, to Tapestry.
Yeah.
You know, she was second in the Grade One behind Rosina last year. You know, she was a bit unlucky that day. She didn't get the best of runs and was obviously a bit short of room. There's a good chance that, you know, she could easily turn the form around. I'm still not totally convinced that Rosina is going to be a miler. You know, she always looked as though she had plenty of speed last season, and you know, she did get beaten on any try at a mile, albeit by a length, but I'd be against Rosina today. I think she's going to be horse best over 7 furlongs and maybe even shorter in her career. What will win the 1,000 Guineas, I have absolutely no idea. Totally a watching race for me. And, you know, we'll learn plenty for the rest of the season, which is pretty much what we've done in the 2,000 Guineas.
Yeah. One thing about Tapestry, though, you think that Rosina could end up being a 7 furlong horse. The step up in trip will suit Tapestry, won't
definitely
it, this afternoon?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. Yeah. I mean, she's a strong stayer, and she always looked as though 6 and 7 furlongs were way short of her capabilities. So even if she doesn't win, similar to Australia, you know, the Oaks would be beckoning after today.
Mm. Okay, then, let's move on from that. Let's move back to Ireland and do the card at Goran Park. And their first race is the 210. Before we get stuck into it, Andy, we were just talking off air. You like to stick with course form at Goran Park?
As and when, yeah. I'll always like to go down that route unless there's something else that grabs my attention. But yeah, there's a lot of horses that have run here today that have run over the first two meetings at Goran already. And several of those, for obvious reasons, will be on my selection list today.
Okay, the 210 then is the first race, and this is a fillies race over 7 furlongs, and we have an odds-on favourite to start the day in the shape of Dermot Wells Tested. She made a winning debut last year at the Curragh, and they were talking after the race of her making up into a pattern horse at three. This is a first start at three, and do you think she'll win this on route to bigger and better things?
Should do, yeah, shouldn't she? Yeah, I'm actually quite surprised that Dermot Wells hasn't put her in one of the classics early on the season. Obviously the Irish 1000 Guineas will probably be on her shortlist after today. It's a great bit of placing by Dermot, actually. He's basically running in a race where the conditions say that you couldn't have won more than one race or not being first place or second in a listed or group race, which he hasn't. Of course, she comes off the back of a maiden win last season. You're probably looking at a horse here tested who's probably going to be rated in the 100 pluses as the season progresses, and she's up against horses who are at absolute very best rated mid 80s, so she should, as her market position suggests, take this quite comfortably. She's got a good starting position for the race as well, drawn in stall one, particularly early on in the meeting here at Garran. I did stress that here when I did the podcast last time out. The low draw very much dominates early on, and as the day progresses they tend to come towards the stand side as that far rail gets churned up on good to yielding ground, and the high draw then dominates. So good start here for Lee Roach on a horse who created a really good impression first time out in what's turning out to be one of the hottest maidens for fillies throughout the early part of this season. Of course, she beat Sparrow, which went on to win next time out. Dance with Another has also won, Crystal Fashion, and Wind in Her Sleeves as well. Four winners out of that race subsequently, and loads of other horses that run well. So she beat a good field. She did it in really decisive fashion, decent time. And this is a really good starting point for her today. I don't expect her to get it beat. And even 8 to 11 this morning, I think that'll come under threat.
Okay. On to the second race next, the 2:45. And this is a handicap over 7 furlongs and quite an open race with Dashwood, the 5-2 market leader at the time of recording. Mr. Bounty is 11-2, 6-1 for Shabra Emperor. Urjok is 17-2, 9-1 for Fairy Foxglove. Red Laser 10s. Bit of money for Consonance, 14-1 into 10-1. It's then 14-1 or bigger prices the rest. What are your thoughts in the 2:45, Andy?
Yeah, I mean, Dashwood obviously sets quite a high standard here for the rest to follow. Unbelievably impressive the other day at Ayr, wasn't it? When Johnny Levens decided to bring him over to Ayr, it's a ploy that he's done before with several of his horses, and it bared fruit. It was a really eye-catching run the first time out as well at Tipperary. I think he went into every possible Irish race watcher's notebook that day when he ran behind Harley's Harley. It was just quite incredible. They didn't put the tongue tie on either, and they had that contraption on the other day when he won at Ayr. Obviously the tongue tie's on again today. He's got a reasonable draw, he's got form over 7 furlongs. The only thing he hasn't done, he's got form over this track, which is very much a specialist track. Having won on a straight track, obviously now he's got to go around a bend. If he copes with that, then he clearly is the one to beat. However, I do think there's one here at a much more meatier price that certainly he's worthy of at least a sentence or two to talk about his chances, and that's a horse called Consonance from the Joseph Murphy stable. A horse that was heavily backed here last week, which I thought was very significant because his form figures weren't exactly that persuasive. And he got into all sorts of trouble down the lane as well when they did come over towards the stand side, towards the back end of the meeting. He got his run blocked on several occasions in the end. Pat Smullen just had to dab on the brake pedal and ease him right off. I think he would have finished a good deal closer than he ended up finishing. Of course, he only beat two home that day, but I think he might have actually been involved in the finish had things panned out a little bit better for him. And I like the fact that he was very well back, 7-1 into 9-2. They thought they got a well-handicapped horse on the hands. Significant that he's going back to the same track a week later, and maybe compensation might await in some small way. I certainly think 10-1, he's worth monitoring the betting. So let's go with Consonance each way.
Okay, Consonance each way then. The money has come for that as well a little bit this morning, 14s into 10s at the time of recording, so that's one to keep an eye on. The 3:20 is the third race on the card, and this is an EBF maiden over a mile, and the betting is headed by Gortio, who's 4-5 and has run fairly well in some maidens so far, but she keeps bumping into a Ballydoyle runner, it seems, and luckily for supporters of Gortio, there's no Ballydoyle runners in this lineup today, Andy, so is this a good opportunity now for her to get ahead in front?
Yeah, it certainly is, isn't it, Mark? Yeah, I mean, yeah, she should take this race quite comfortably, really, unless there's something in here that I don't know about. Of the ones that have run so far, she's clearly the one to beat. And even 4-5, would, I think, would seem a decent enough bet if you can run anywhere near the level she's already achieved. Started off her career by running behind Australia, of course, we've seen, finished third in the 2000 Guineas yesterday. A good effort behind Terrific, another one of Aidan O'Brien's the next day. And that horse, of course, has been touted as being a classic contender this season in Ireland. And then another horse that I think could take high rank from Ballydoll, beat her on a debut, and that's a horse called Palace, who finally did what her homework suggested she would do, when winning very easily that day and beating Gautier. But I thought Gautier had run really well, despite she was well backed as well. They obviously fancied her first time out, and they thought they might catch the favourite with a bit of a cold, but as it turned out, the winner was just too strong late on. It was noticeable that Niall McCullough rode her that day, went a real good gallop, and in the end she paid for it in the latter stages going up the stiff hill. I think she'd be better for the run, and I think the better ground will suit today. I'm not really convinced she handled that really bad ground the other day down in Navan. It seemed to sort of like blunt her finishing kick the other day. I think she'll probably make the run in again, or try to. And even though she's in trap 12, I don't think that will be too much of an inconvenience, particularly as the day goes on. As I said, that wide draw becomes more favourable rather than a negative. So let's go with Gautier, probably the strongest bet on the card. In fact, she does get the nap vote in the 3.20.
Okay, nap selection then for Andy Gautier in the 3.20. Moving on to the 3.55 next, and this is a rated race over a mile, and six of them in the lineup. You couldn't really make too much between any of them. Warbird is 11-4 favourite, 130 for Trinity Force, 7-2 for Atlantic Sea. Lanyard is 4-1, 13-2 for Soft Power, and Focused is 7-1. A bit of a tricky race to get a real handle on here, Andy, for me. But who do you like in the 3.55?
I like Trinity Force here. I'm actually surprised this horse isn't favourite. In fact, I'm amazed, because I was hugely taken by the way this horse won the other day down in Dundalk. I fancied the second Watteed, who'd gone there with a string of placed efforts behind him, and I thought he'd run his race, to be honest. I thought Pat Smullen gave him a good ride from the front, and he kicked at the right moment, and along come this Trinity Force and absolutely sauntered by him in the latter stages. And I think the further he went, the better he looked. With another furlong, I think he would have lapped him. He was going on very, very strongly late on. So I think the step up to a mile is absolutely bang on for this fella. He's by Efraj as well, so the drier the ground, the better it'll suit him. Obviously, first run on turf, we never really know how they're going to shape up, particularly if you've run on a sound surface, and that seems to be what he wants, given his action. He's a big, strong fella, this lad. I think we're going to see good things of this Trinity Force this season. Like I say, in my book, I think I'd make him favourite. You'd certainly have to respect Warbird, who lowered the colours of Craftsman on his only start here at Garran last season. Of course, Craftsman went on to win a Group 3 towards the back end of the season at Leopardstown. Atlantic Sea's having his first run of the year as well, so maybe a run might be just needed of him. Lanyard and Soft Power are useful, but they haven't done anything on the figures yet to suggest they're top class. So I'm really keen on this Trinity Force. I was torn with the idea of napping this fella. I've gone with Gautier early on, but this one definitely would be my next best.
Okay, on to the 4.30 next, the fifth race on the card, and this is a handicap over a mile, and Einstein's Folly heads the betting here at 100-30. Puri Wango is 4-1, 9-2 for Castle Guest. Croyonor is 6-1 with Dark Crusader. Vastanaer is 13-2, and it's 10-1 or bigger prices the rest. So Einstein's Folly heads the betting, Andy. The Jim Bolger runner seems to like it at Goran Park. He's won twice and finished second on his three appearances at the course. I suppose there's a slight question mark around the trip, though, this afternoon.
Arguably, yeah, although, you know, he shows plenty of pace in his races, so I don't necessarily think that's a key factor. For me, he just didn't quite get home the other day over a mile and a quarter. He looked as though he was going to win that day. He came alongside Shalaman and General Brook, and he was just out-battled in the closing stages, albeit he only got beat two short heads. So I think a mile should be fine. He's got plenty of tactical speed. But the key component, which you've already touched upon, Mark, is the fact that he has won here at Garran a couple of times. He clearly loves it here. He likes going right-handed. He likes getting a bit his tone a little bit, which he's going to get this afternoon. And he looks the obvious choice, really, with all those positives in against his name. Piri Wango, useful horse, has got to come back off a layoff, so we don't really know where we stand with him. Croc Noir never wins. He's just a frustrating character. He was a bit unlucky here the last day behind Einstein's Folly, but that's very much in his CV. He tends to find trouble in running. Castle Guest will probably take the field along at a good gallop, but he might just need the first run of the season. You got Vastanea, won the race last year, so he's going to be dangerous after a run under his belt. The one I can't have on my mind, and I think William Hill odds compilers have completely lost their marbles here by sticking in Dark Crusader at 6-1. I think they've missed the 6 off the end of it. I mean, that horse is an absolute million, that is. You can quite clearly work out what Tony Martin's doing with that filly. He's trying to get her down in the handicap because, you know, she won the Melrose at the back end of the season at York over a mile six. She started off her season over 7 furlongs, finished last of the 14 of the day. Now it's no great surprise. She's up a furlong here, but a mile's just isn't further enough for her. She needs another 6 furlongs. So that horse will not be winning. So yeah, it's a race certainly within Einstein's Folly's capabilities, and with that track CV against his name, we'll go with him.
Okay, Einstein's Folly then in that race. The 505 is the penultimate race this afternoon, and this is a handicap over the extended mile in 1 furlong. And Fast On looks to have been pretty popular at the top of the betting. It opened up at 11-2, now 4-1. Maurice is 7-1, that was 8 earlier on in the day. Zero Euro is 8-1, 8-1 also for Liberty's Gift. 17-2 for Erin's Gal, and 10-1. For Gold Falcon, 12-1 or bigger prices, the remaining runners. 17 of them in the lineup here, Andy. Quite an open, tricky contest, but the money is coming for Fast On, it seems.
Yeah, which is not surprising, but it's if you would have said that Fast On would be a heavily gambled on horse before his last start, you'd be carted off to the funny farm, because prior to that victory here the other day, he was 0-21. And he's been one of the most frustrating characters I've known in Irish racing for a while. I've tipped him a few times, and the number of times he's got beat is quite incredible. But he finally did something that he's been threatening to do for a long time, and that was win. And win he did, and winning a really good time as well for the grade. That was quite astonishing, his performance, particularly on the clock from 4 out. He was very, very good compared to the rest of the card. In fact, you'd almost say he was a 60-70 rated horse based on his finishing time. So he might just go in again, you know, particularly as this lad Sean Corby seemed to get a tune out of him. Whereas one or two jockeys more senior than him have failed to do so in the past, so I do think he's a worthy favourite here today, despite his previous iffy-looking record. And I do think there's one at a bigger price here that we should mention as well for those that like paying double-figure quoted horses. There's a race run down in Tipperary the other day, which I think will start working out well on the figures. It's won by a horse called Cliff House, who was a big outsider, but I don't think there's any fluke about that performance, particularly based on the numbers I got for that race. And back in fifth was Truly Delightful, Thomas Cleary's four-year-old filly, who did some good late work without unduly being punished on her first run of the season. I think the trip probably just stretches as well, being over a mile and a half. She's dropping back to a mile 1.5 today, which should be ideal. And I'd say speed figure-wise, she's actually second in. Fast On is my top with that run here the other day at Gowran. But second in is Truly Delightful, so I think we can afford to pay two against the field here. We've definitely got to back Fast On again at 4-1. But I think we've got to back Truly Delightful at 20s.
Okay, couple against the field there then. In the 505 and the final race this afternoon is the 540. We finish with an Irish Stallion Farms European Breeders Fund Median Auction Filly's Maiden. It's over at the extended mile and at 1 furlong. 10 of them in the lineup. Who'd you like for the lucky last, Andy?
Yeah, quite a few of these have had one or two chances. Upper Silesian, of course, and Achinana has also had quite a few runs. But, you know, they've shown reasonable level of ability, but... another horse that's also had a couple of spins as well that I think is open to a bit of improvement is Crafted Mastery, filly by Master Craftsman, as the name suggests, trained by Joe Lyons. I thought she should have won at Dundalk on her last start when we saw her back in December. In fact, how she got beat is still a mystery to me. She got in all sorts of trouble that day when I think Colin Keane could have kept it a bit more simple and got the job done. She's been given a little bit of a break since that effort. Hopefully she'll come back fighting strong and ready to crack on with a three-year campaign. This looks a really good opportunity for her here. She's up against one or two, because if you're looking opponents, and hopefully there won't be too many of the unraced brigade that will be up to winning first time out. I think she's really good each way bet here. I think 11-2 is way beyond my expectations of what I thought she was. She was even money to win that maiden last time out at Dundalk, and this race doesn't look any hotter. So I do think she's a really good bet in the last. Crafted Mastery certainly got the form on the board to outrun her odds of 11-2.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you, Andy. Let's just have a quick summary of your selections, if you wouldn't mind, before you go.
Yeah, really good day here at Gowran today. Hopefully we'll start off in the right positive fashion here. We're tested in the first at Dermot Wells Filly. She looks as though she should take that first race quite comfortably. Dashwood's going to be all the rage in the 2:45, quite rightly so. But he is facing a different set of circumstances to the one he faced the other day. So let's go with Continence down the foot of the weights. He was a bit of it unlucky here last week when he was well-backed. In the 3:20 nap of the day is Gorteo. Hopefully she should get off the mark today at the full time of asking. I really like Trinity Force in the 3:55. I think he's a horse worth keeping on the right side of. Einstein's Folly gets the vote in the 4:30. In the 5:05, a trappy handicap, but I like the way Fast On won here last week. So let's go with him, along with a bit of an outsider, Truly Delightful. And in the final race, I think if you can get 11-2 for Crashing Mastery, you should at least get a good run for your money there.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Andy. Good luck with your selections and enjoy Goran this afternoon.
Cheers, bud.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.